Hello, this is the weekly astrology forecast, and this is your host, astrologer Shelley Entine, and I am speaking to you about the week beginning Monday, the 30th of June, and ending on Sunday, the 6th of July. So one of the things that this forecast will have is the forecast for what is the Independence Day, 4th of July weekend in the United States. Also, right at the top, I'm going to discuss the fact that Venus is shifting into Gemini this week, and also the fact that Neptune will retrograde in Aries this week. So we are heading into those outer planet retrogrades. Not all of them, but you know, we already have Pluto, and not long after Neptune, Saturn will also retrograde. So, you know, you might be able to feel that in this slow summer here, things are starting to slow down and shift. So let's talk about Venus and her entrance into Gemini. She has been in her own sign, and it is very comfortable for everyone when Venus is in Taurus. But one of the things I like to see or say when I see Venus go into the air sign, mutable air sign of Gemini, is that there will be words of love and communications that also are with loved ones and about love. It isn't so bad to have her out of the cookie baking cycle and maybe spreading some peaceful communication energies, helpful communications in a world that is very much in need of those. I think we could all agree on that. So it will happen on the same day Neptune retrogrades, which is going to be Friday the 4th of July. So that's an interesting day to have both of these planets make a sort of a shift. Venus will not retrograde in Gemini, and she won't even make it to the square when Neptune goes back into Pisces, which I'll mention in a moment. She'll be long gone. She'll be out of Gemini. So she will have a good time if the moon or the planets or the sun would be in Gemini or Libra or Aquarius. She's also very friendly with Leo and Aries. Sagittarius would be in opposition, so there would be a challenge there. However, I don't think there's going to be any other planets there. Just the moon will probably go through to catch her in an opposition, perhaps. And, you know, she will not be getting along well with Pisces, which is why I mentioned Neptune, that she won't be squaring the Pisces planet. And she may not be easy to deal with for the other water signs. She's a little bit too chatty, a little bit too flighty, a little bit too flirtatious. You may feel that you don't know what's going to happen next. And so the water signs are a little bit more concerned about having their space clear to them. They need to be feeling safe. And to the other earth signs like Capricorn and Virgo also are not that keen on this beautiful little butterfly floating around in all their business, you know, their organization. So, but she's fine with it, you know. She just enjoys, really, I think, Venus in Gemini is perhaps not a steadfast lover. But then again, that depends on other things in the birth chart. But she does like to play and, you know, go on these short trips and see new things. And so she can also enjoy gatherings and parties where she might want to also meet new people. And, you know, because of her demeanor, people might take the wrong impression from her friendliness, but she really is that way. And when we look at what she values, she does value this. She values communication. She values connection. She may be the one that wants to get in touch with the relatives or, you know, plan something with the siblings or the neighborhood. And maybe she wants to get into the beautification of the neighborhood committee and things like that, because she is also going to want to take some classes, maybe learn another language. And so she might be spending money in those Gemini places. And also things that we do with our arms, you know, and hands. So she might be receiving massages and other things that maybe beautify. This would be the hands. So the pedicures are going to be included sometimes, but the manicures are really up there in where the spending might occur. Bracelets and rings, things like that. And maybe she'll enjoy sports that have arms as a big feature, like golf, tennis. Now, this is the time of year, so you may find her there or spending money on the clothing that would go along with those things. Yeah. So she does, again, feel that the communication area is very important to her. Maybe she'll get another streaming channel while she's in Gemini. Oh my goodness, how can you add another one? Well, it's very tempting. And, you know, she's going to be more likely to send texts and, you know, maybe even regular cards, because I think that the Venus in Gemini kind of misses those things, the niceties, we used to call them, you know, the thank you notes and things like that. She's one for those. So she's going to be with us until, depending on where you are in the time zones, July 30th to 31st. So her presence on Independence Day could be very important. If you're in a family crowd or, you know, some sort of a group gathering, she's going to be a pleasant energy for those conversations and get-togethers. And Neptune, on the other hand, is retrograding at the Aries point of 2 degrees, but he is going to go back to 29 of Pisces, not too far in, just hanging out on that 29th degree, where he will go retrograde and then direct again there on December 10th. It will be January 26th of 2026. That is an interesting connection. That the Neptune energy will enter Aries for the long run, the 13-year run, till March 23rd of 2039. So we have had our little taste of, you know, even this in the news. I like to use mundane a lot, as you've noticed. And in the news, we had this attack, right, on nuclear facilities, underground kind of thing, surprise, secret. Is very much the Neptune energy. And right now, the Iranians are looking for people who may have been spies. also, that is Neptunian. And so we see the Neptune energy in this way in the sign of war and in the sign of actions taken. And now there's this big controversy. Is it true? Was the claim that things have been completely destroyed really true? Or was that another veil over something to make it look good? I think that when I look at the Neptune in Aries energy, I see that as one of the possibilities, and also using things like gas and chemical and, you know, sort of poisons and things like that as part of warfare. And also just simply lying, you know, about other people, what they've done or whatever. It's wherever Neptune goes, you know, we have to look at that. And, you know, perhaps for a large group of people, myself included, the Neptune in Aries is my actual chosen method, is to use the spiritual teachings and the spiritual behaviors to send my energy into situations instead of going into negative, very negative anger attitudes or, you know, attack things myself. I try to, you know, kind of soften the edges of what I may initially react and be angry or, you know, that kind of thing, and then try to go back into the spiritual teachings and use things like the Great Invocation, which I do every day, and sending frequency, sending a vibration out. There's definitely an opportunity. There are these matrix energies that wrap around the whole planet, and they are emotional and mental. And you can send a chosen frequency there. So this is another way to act on something. And that's, you know, you have the whole spectrum. You know, using sound and singing. I like to sing the Reiki energy. I was taught that by my most powerful teacher, to literally sing the Reiki, and I think it is an augmentation of the request. And so, so we have an opportunity during that retrograde cycle to go back over and look at this, you know, what happened during this first part of the Aries transit and what we are going to see again as Neptune goes back into the Pisces energy. And it's really going to only affect those higher degree, I was going to say level, but I don't mean that, higher degree of the sign of Pisces or Gemini and Virgo and Sagittarius planets or ascendants or positions. It will be an orb if you're counting 5 degrees below to the 24 degrees of those planets. You've seen it before. If you've got them at those degrees, and you'll see it again. But once it leaves on December 10th, and it won't go all the way back beyond the 29, so it should be more of a, did I learn my lesson here, or do I know how to handle this better? So it's always the case with the challenges, something we're supposed to learn. And so maybe you'll say, wow, you know, I'm really glad I got through that and I feel differently. And then, boom, that's it. Now the cardinal signs will have to be looking out for the Neptune energy, right? So, that's what I wanted to say before I got into the daily forecast, because it's you know, can't stop the flow once I get going. But speaking of the flow, once we get going, this last day of June, Monday the 30th, we are waiting for aspects to come in. There is no aspect, planetary or lunar, on the day itself. But the moon is in Virgo in the waxing first quarter phase, and it is going to get to the trine to Venus and Taurus, and that will come in on Canada Day, the first day of July for them, and that comes in at 10:43 a.m. So you're working towards something, and it's a very helpful aspect for any kind of mundane issues or errands or communications that you need. You've got a trine between the moon in Virgo and Venus in Taurus. So this is, you know, make hay while the sun shines, as they said long ago. And then on Tuesday, the first, also the last aspect for the moon in Virgo is a trine to Uranus in Taurus. Well, next week we're going to be talking about the shift, not, you know, the week now, but the week beyond, of this Uranus in Taurus. It's 29 degrees. It's almost going into its dip into Gemini. So this is the last trine for the moon in Virgo to Uranus for a while. And that comes in at 4:47 p.m. on Tuesday. So some of those discussions that went so well, maybe about financing, maybe about food and health, maybe about work and, you know, whatever. This is going to prompt perhaps some investigations and ability to look at something new and something that would work. And that will be what we see until, again, 4:47 p.m. on Tuesday, the 1st of July. Very short void of course moon. Moon enters Libra, 5:16 p.m. And, you know, if you're a new listener, these are all Eastern daylight time. Okay. I usually said that, but most people have already been following me, but there might be some new ones. So the moon in Libra is going to be going opposition Saturn and Aries until 8:54 p.m. And then opposing Neptune in Aries as it slowed down, stationed on 29 degrees at 9:34 p.m. So you'll see it in the news. If you don't see it in your own life, there'll be some kind of argument, disagreement. It won't be easy to reach understandings. You won't really be able to fathom some of the things you're seeing, when, especially when it gets to the opposition to Neptune in Aries. Like, how? How could that be? Oh, yeah, I say that a lot. Anyway, and then, now, Pluto is retrograde. It's the first outer planet to go retrograde. Now, the moon in Libra will trine the retrograde Pluto in Aquarius until 11:27 p.m. So after all that, I can't figure out what's happening here. There's some opportunity to maybe look at all the changes and the things that have transformed about technology. I don't think it's ever going to stop. I was just looking at, somebody did a podcast on how to use the AI to help you edit things, and, you know, how to do it so that it keeps your voice in. Well, I was interested in what he was saying, but he mentioned, well, this is how you do this now, but I'm sure it will change. Yeah, I'm sure it will change, like, all the time. So don't, you know, get too attached to that sentence that comes after that. Moon trine Pluto, though, gives you an opportunity to think back and maybe digest, and maybe Libra feels a little better about it. And that's until 11:27 p.m. on Tuesday the 1st. And then there is going to be a square from the moon in Libra to Jupiter now in Cancer until 3:25 a.m. on Wednesday morning. So emotions may be up and they will interfere with the ability to, you know, again, find balance or agreements. Most of us here on the East Coast will be sleeping for that, I hope, unless you happen to have a reason to be awake. The moon will sextil Mercury in Leo until 6:29 a.m. So if you were up then, you would be having the ability to come to some understandings with others. But we do have the moon square to the sun in Cancer come in on Wednesday the 2nd, and that's exact at 3:30 p.m. So there is a definite difference between the mental and the water, the air and water levels. They don't work the same way. So that's the problem, you know. And yet, what it's going to also do, as it makes this square, is take us into the second quarter phase of this next lunar cycle. A couple of weeks from now, we'll have a full moon. It'll be in Capricorn, right? So you may have set some intentions for the new moon. That was on the 25th in Cancer. Well, here's where you will get into the idea of gaining more tools and support and nurturing those goals in any way you can. Because you want to have that harvest at the full moon. So this is where we go into that cycle. And once again, 3:30 p.m., moon in Libra, void of course. And despite an opposition to Chiron in Aries, late on Thursday, 11:10 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday evening, that's a long time also to get to that, over 24 hours of no problem really is how you feel, you know, when you have a void of course moon, but you are getting interested in moving forward. And so there won't be anything to move forward with in terms of energy of it'll come to pass until Friday, the 4th of July, at 5:33 a.m., the moon will enter Scorpio. Well, that's a pretty intense sign for our Independence Day, but we've got a lot of stuff going on. I would say if you were traveling, it's pretty good for you for traveling on the Thursday before, because there is, you know, pretty smooth sailing, no problem kind of energy, unless, you know, everybody has a chart, right, that is also doing specific things. But in general, I would leave and I wouldn't worry about it too much. Moon in Scorpio at 5:33 a.m. also is happening while Venus joins Uranus in Taurus, 8:45 a.m. So something different. Are you already there? Did somebody promise something? Does this require a sudden trip to a market? Somebody wants breakfast. Where are you? You know, that kind of energy is there, but it is the last aspect for Venus and Taurus, and she's just going to change signs right away and go into like pleasant conversation at 11:31 a.m. Meanwhile, the moon in Scorpio has to make a square to Pluto in Aquarius at 11:46 a.m. Okay, here's the problem. Somebody needs to feel in control. Somebody else believes they're in control. It's kind of a tricky relationship. And Pluto is the ruler of Scorpio, so it may think it's winning, even though it's retrograde. But, the moon in Scorpio can be doing things beyond its own level of consciousness, let's say. So I wouldn't bet on either horse in that issue there. Try to get out of the way. The moon, however, does feel a lot better as it goes into the trine to Jupiter in Cancer until 5:06 p.m. that's when you should be doing all the eating and, you know, that festive part, because it'll feel good and it'll taste good and everyone will be in a better mood. Neptune is coming in right away after that, 5:34 p.m. to do the retrograde. I wonder what it'll feel like, you know. But the moon will square the Mercury in Leo. It won't come in, though, until 12:29 a.m. So get your fireworks in early, because the square to Mercury is also the square to the fingers and the hands, and something may go wrong, okay? So the earlier the better. And besides, people want to sleep. Be considerate of your neighbors and the poor puppies that live near you. And have your show, but make it early enough. And then after this, there will be very early in the a.m., the moon in Scorpio sextiles Mars in Virgo. So things get cleaned up. And we have a lovely harmony of the lights for Saturday as we get up in Eastern time zone, because this moon in Scorpio, trine the sun in Cancer, comes in at 9:29 a.m. Yes, feels good. And even though the next aspect for the moon in Scorpio is not so good, it doesn't come in until Sunday at 6:04 p.m. It is the Scorpio moon's opposition to Uranus and Taurus. Okay, so that would be a difficult afternoon or early evening to set out if you wanted to travel on that day. So beware of that coming in, because there's sudden changes, there's surprises, there's annoyance between two people that are in very different realms of thought or feeling. So just know that. And the moon will enter Sagittarius at 6:06 p.m. And here you have a little easier time if you want to travel, because moon in Sagittarius will trine Saturn in Aries until 9:54 p.m. So the methods may be working then. However, now we have a retrograde Neptune. So the moon in Sag trine Neptune in Aries until 10:26 p.m. might not be quite as easy of a flow. And the moon will oppose Venus in Aries. Gemini, as I mentioned, during the Venus in Gemini. This is the moon in Sagittarius coming to oppose Venus in Gemini. 11:37 p.m. is when that takes place. So you've got, you know, kind of like a brief span of easy to start out on a drive home or something like that. But then maybe by 10 o'clock you should hopefully be at your destination, or but at least if you've managed to catch the moon trine Saturn to leave, this is the beginning of the trip, is the tail of the trip. So that is why I always give you these aspects, so you can choose the right time to do things and understand also what else you're seeing around you. The moon opposition Venus in Gemini may be just that, you know, I want to get there this way, it's faster, but this is a nicer road, you know, that kind of stuff. Not agreeing about how to do the trip after 10:30 and between that and 11:37. Moon will sextile retrograde Pluto in Aquarius. After this, it will come in at 12:06 a.m. on the Monday. And that Monday morning, yes, that is the day, 7th of July, Uranus enters Gemini at 3:45 a.m. Well, I have to say, I am really looking forward to this. I might have said it before, because to me, take that planet of intuition and the, zap of understanding and seeing something, and, the light bulb came on, and aha, is in the mind. And I have written a whole Substack post about that I think I'll resurrect for one of the posts that weekend. It's going to be a wonderful download for people if you're open to it. It will be enlightening and it will change the way people are thinking. Unfortunately, we're also going to see the rise of the changes in how we're communicating. It's going to be even more than we imagine. And, the all bets are off kind of. That's how I look at everything now, whether all bets are off, But that will be a topic that will be in the podcast, definitely also for the weekly astrology forecast, which comes through my blog page or through my Substack Moon Days report, which comes out on Sunday evenings. So that will be a big thing to talk about, and so will the full moon in Capricorn. That's taking place next time. It'll be at 18 degrees on Capricorn. It'll be 4:37 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Thursday the 10th. And Saturn will retrograde. If you're in Eastern Time, it's Sunday the 13th at 12:07 a.m. West of here, it's out in the Pacific, it's 9:07 p.m., so it's still Saturday, 12th. Saturn retrograde. Okay, one thing about those retrogrades that I didn't mention with the Neptune retrograde in the beginning was that if you are a Pisces or have Pisces rising, that's your chart ruler or one of them. And so you'll start feeling that slowdown and you'll start feeling like the tide is going out, sort of, in a way. And all of us have that sign somewhere in our chart. If you have it on a house cusp, then, which is, likely, but sometimes we have intercepted houses, so that's why I say if you. But if whatever house the transit's in, or whatever house has it on the cusp, Pisces on the cusp is going to be a place where a slowdown, also going back, is going to be looked at and felt. So, and that again is going to be through December 10th. Okay, so we're looking at Uranus and Saturn shifting for Uranus, retrograding for Saturn next week. Well, I really hope you have a very happy holiday if you're celebrating in Canada or in the United States. And I hope you have a happy week no matter where you are. And now that you know how it looks, hopefully that'll smooth the way for you. I'll say goodbye for now.